get ready with our own show. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Aging Well Together show. I am so excited. Today we have an incredibly important topic all about long-term care insurance, how to understand what it is and the cost of long-term care. I'm excited for all the information we'll learn together. But before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org and through streaming services. So as always, many thanks for listening to us. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team from the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss, and I wouldn't be surprised if today is one of those days, or even if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging. They can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. I'm also excited that all of our recorded shows are finally available on the Orange County Department on Aging's website. So much love to the communications team for making Marilyn and Beverly for making that happen. So when you go to the website that I listed before, the orangecountync.gov/aging, there's a link to the Aging Well Together radio show, and you can listen to the past 21 shows. This is our 22nd show. As always, a shout out to the Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music. I was such a little tease, just gave you just a tiny bit of just one or two bars of that in the beginning, but you'll hear a lot more of their music at the end of the show. And before turning it to our wonderful guest, Bill Comfort, I'm excited, and Bill is sitting patiently waiting for me to stop talking. I am your host, Heather Altman. I've spent the last 25 years working in aging services, and I continue to work with older adults and their families, connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and now that I am 53, it was my birthday 2 weeks ago, so for a long time I said I was 52, and now I'm 53, and I am focusing on my own changing needs, and they are happening daily, so I am super invested in how we are aging well together. And today's topic, I wouldn't be surprised if Bill gives me a hard time being 53 and no long-term care insurance, so we're going to talk about that. Okay. So turning it over to our great guest this week, we're so lucky, and I should be intimidated, but I'm not in the mood. We actually have a former radio and TV journalist, Bill Comfort. Bill has the unique ability to take the complicated world of long-term care and communicate planning and insurance options clearly and directly. Bill's mission as a long-term care specialist is to help individuals and families properly protect themselves from both the personal and financial and the costs of long-term care. He has trademarked the phrase, the LTC Pro. So we're going to talk more about that. Bill has been in the insurance industry since 1991. He has sold long-term care insurance for 30 years and is focused exclusively on long-term care planning and long-term care insurance since 2000. There's only, only a handful of long-term care specialists in the country have as much experience, and we're so lucky to have him. All right, I'm still saying more about you, Bill. As a long-term care specialist in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina Triangle metro area, Bill also serves clients across North Carolina and the rest of the country, and he also provides education at our own local senior centers here in Orange County, and I saw his presentation and was like, Bill, you got to come on the show and share the same things. He has his, in the past, he's had his own podcast, Aging America Radio, on that show, focusing on a wide range of topics to support successful aging. He authored the book Long-Term Care Insurance Resource Guide and was a contributor to the book Stages of Senior Care. Okay, Bill Comfort of Comfort Long-Term Care, we are so excited to have you here. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to get to be here, and thanks for the detailed introduction.
I stalked you. Bill is like, this all sounds familiar. Somebody went to my website.
Apparently, yes.
I did. And there was so much. I actually didn't include all of it. You're fabulous. You have wonderful experience and point of personal. Bill has, especially in the past few months, become a good friend and a close colleague. We work together a lot more now. And so I leaned on that friendship to say, Bill, please bring your expertise to the Aging Well Together show.
It's a good fit. I mean, I sell insurance. That's the primary task that I do. I work with other financial products. Sometimes insurance is not the appropriate solution for a variety of things we can talk about. But it's long-term care insurance is just a tool. Yeah. So the big subject is planning for care, or I like to call it sort of just to evoke a broader understanding. You know, long-term care carries a lot of baggage for people. What does it mean? It's extended care. Planning for extended care as we age. It could happen at any age, but it's most commonly as we're successful aging, that's when we may need care. So the involvement with the senior care industry that you are in, mm-hmm. and actively in placement for care and home care agencies and assisted living facilities, that's been a part of my business and what I want to network with people, and because I need to know what it is that the insurance that I sell is going to help people pay for.
Yeah. What is it they're doing? And we're going to jump all into that, but we have skipped ahead. And for, I am sure, we have huge thousands and thousands of loyal listeners. And they would say, Heather, you're jumping too quickly into this. Our first step is to say, Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself. What brought you? Where are you from? And what brought you even into this passion and love space for all things long-term care insurance?
Yeah, to maybe belabor the point from the introduction that you did so well. My degree's in journalism, and my first career out of college was broadcast journalism, radio, TV, news, documentary production. And my dad was in the insurance business. In fact, my grandfather was in the insurance business as well. So I grew up around the insurance business, didn't have any real negative view of it. I just didn't see myself as an insurance guy initially. But, you know, life goes on. Had my first child, realized there wasn't a lot of upside in what I was doing and where I was doing it. My journalism work was in Kansas, mm-hmm. Topeka, Lawrence, and Wichita, Kansas. I worked for Wichita State University after that in their media production department. They actually had a cable TV channel that we programmed for. But I was realizing I needed more opportunity. And so my dad recruited me to the insurance business. It'll be 33 years next year. I did what most people do when they come into the insurance business, kind of basic training, mm-hmm. went to work for an insurance company, learned the basics of the business, eventually, after a few years, joined my dad's practice with two other partners. This is now in the early, mid-1990s. And that business was mostly focused on employee benefits, so mm-hmm. employer group-type insurance, a lot of health insurance.
Yeah.
Which I found I didn't care for.
Okay, well,
for a variety of reasons.
There's a lot not to care for, though. I have a number of family members in that field, so yeah.
And wrestling with the annual renewals and changes. Well, what happened along the way is I developed an interest in disability insurance, mm-hmm. and kind of had early specialty in disability insurance. And the older partner in the practice was real prescient and came to me one day and said, hey, my clients are asking about this new kind of insurance called long-term care. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's really kind of disability insurance.
Absolutely.
You're our disability guy. Why don't you study this and we'll begin to work on this together? And I found two things I discovered about 10 years into the insurance business. Number one, I didn't like being a generalist. I found out I'm wired as a specialist.
Interesting. You
know, some people are a general practitioner. I sort of joke and say I'm the invasive cardiologist. You know, I have one thing that I focus on. And I discovered that, and this was now mid to late 1990s, that this area of long-term care, that nobody had the coverage, mm-hmm. was a huge, it still is, the largest uncovered financial risk that Americans face. And I saw it as a great opportunity. So in 2000, I helped start an agency that's really grown and developed over time into Comfort Long-Term Care that I have today. So for the last 20 years, I've really focused exclusively on long-term care insurance and other types of insurance and financial products that really help people either plan for mm-hmm. or pay for care once they need it.
Beautifully said, and I'm sure you hear it all the time that your last name could not be a more perfect. The fact that your last name is Comfort, and that's the name of your company. And really, I think that's what you're trying to give people, that comfort and peace of mind that they'll have the care and the support and the funds to take care of themselves as they get, as their needs change.
I've had clients accuse me of changing my name for my business.
Did you? Should we? This is your chance to, this is going on live to you know.
Blessed with that given at birth. No, it's a good name. It is a good name for the business.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And as someone who has followed my own father and his career path, and my dad has been on this show talking about national health policy work. And so I know well that pull to learn from our dads and have that sort of set our direction a little bit. But that's a great story. We have a lot to talk about. If I don't miss, there's a colleagues group that meets on Tuesdays for a Taco Tuesday reception. I miss it often because I don't know when it is, though clearly it's on Tuesdays. We're going to talk more about a lot of this background offline, especially the Kansas. Some of my closest friends are from Topeka, so clearly they're doing something right in Kansas.
I guess so, right?
Great people coming out of it. All right. So you are educating, and I should put some disclaimer in here. Yes, you sell insurance. This project, this show is sponsored by the Orange County Department on Aging. We don't exist to push any product. We don't exist to whatever legal disclaimer we need, but we are more of an education resource. And when I saw you talk at the senior center a few months ago, they brought you in to do this general overview. And that's what I was so excited for you to share, because so many of us, myself included, are completely either we're not aware of what our needs are going to be or what the costs are going to be, or also what some of the options are. So talk us through some of the basics. I know, sure. Like, last week's show, as you know, was all about Medicare. It's open enrollment for Medicare and Medicare Advantage. How does all of this connect with healthcare and how healthcare is different than long-term care? How do they overlap?
Yeah. So the idea of education, I make my living selling insurance and other financial products, right? Mm-hmm. But my approach to the business, my approach to clients is an educational approach. It's a planning approach.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm like everybody else. Who wants to go talk to an insurance guy about buying more insurance for something that we all hope would never happen to us?
I know.
Right? So I always want to start with people just as an education. And sometimes it takes a while. It's not a sales process, it's a planning process. So yeah, let's take that step back. So Medicare, which you just covered last week, mm-hmm. here's my simple bottom line on Medicare related to this subject of long-term extended care. Mm-hmm. Medicare never pays for long-term care. Mm-hmm. Medicare might pay for short-term care, but only if it's skilled and rehabilitative. Mm-hmm. So kind of like during our working years, a lot of people have, through their employer, disability insurance. For accident or illness, you can't do your job.
Or when I had my babies, I took out disability knowing that I was going to have kids in the next few years and wanted a little extra mm-hmm. paycheck there.
And that's a great example, because in the world of disability insurance, there are short-term disability policies mm-hmm. that can help you through a couple weeks, couple months.
Yep.
but they don't go beyond 2 or 3 months.
Nope.
And then there's long-term disability, which is more for permanent disabilities. Mm-hmm. So I think Medicare and long-term care can be looked at analogously.
Mm-hmm.
So Medicare might pay for a few weeks, maybe 2 months,
mm-hmm.
if you need skilled rehab care, say after surgery or an accident or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Medicare doesn't pay if you're not safe getting through the day, either because mm-hmm. of a physical limitation or a mental cognitive impairment, we call it. If you need somebody around just to make sure you're safe, that's long-term care. And Medicare doesn't pay for that basic, you know, what we call personal or custodial care
mm-hmm.
beyond just this limited period of time when you're getting, you know, rehab, skilled rehab.
Yeah. And do you find, I know that I have to do that. It's like myth busting when I'm talking
yes.
with folks and they just think, well, you know, when I need that care, Medicare will pay for it. It'll be there. And it's like, no. Yeah, you go for a hip replacement or you have some other surgery or, as you said, accident. Yes, they'll pay for a few weeks in a, you know, for that post-hospitalization, post-acute care.
Right.
That's all about, last week we were talking about the Part A, the hospital. And that will pay for a little bit. But there, do you find that you're constantly helping people understand myth and fact? Like, it's not going to be there. You're not covered for that.
All the
or
time.
Your basic,
yep.
I have health insurance. That'll cover it.
Right. Health insurance during working years is the same as Medicare after age 65.
Exactly.
And I hear all the time, well, won't Medicare cover the first 100 days? They've heard about the 100 days
yes, exactly.
in a nursing home. And what people don't understand about that, that is the maximum Medicare will pay by law. The reality is most people, the way that the Medicare payment system works, the way that skilled nursing rehab works, you're going to get 3 or 4 weeks and maybe 5 if you're lucky. But you're not guaranteed even 100 days. But listen, even 90 or 100 days is still short term.
Yeah.
It's not month in, month out, year in and year out of being able to safely get through the day.
I know. Okay, so this is what we're doing now. We're educating people, and sorry, folks, if we are changing the way that you thought about it and breaking your hearts, but it's really not going to be there. So then, what is long-term care? I mean, you started to talk about it, but as you say, all right, and you've given actually quite a bit of information about it, but as you say, all right, this is how you need to be planning for what
right.
long-term care really is.
So one of my little sayings that I like to use is long-term care is not a place or an event, or not a place or a condition necessarily. It's an event. I like to think of it as a post-retirement disability or an old age disability.
Mm-hmm.
So people often, I mean, one of the other myths is long-term care is all about being in a nursing home.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And nursing homes are certainly part of the continuum of care.
Yeah. Speaking of, if folks yeah. hear the siren, speaking of the continuum of care, I don't know what came through, but clearly we're here.
Somebody's off for an acute medical event that
exactly.
will need skilled attention at the hospital. So nursing homes are part of it. But what's interesting is most people who are getting care, and,
mm-hmm.
and we can define this a little more deeply, but most people are getting care, you know, day in and day out care, just to make sure they're getting through the day safely, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those people are not in nursing homes.
No.
80% of yep. people in America who are getting helping care get it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the rest of the people get it, if they can, in more home-like settings. I mean, the terms that are most commonly used, like assisted living or memory care,
mm-hmm.
depending on the type of help that you need. So one of the big myths is, well, long-term care is all about going to a nursing home. No. In fact, planning for care for most people is planning to stay out of a nursing home.
Exactly. Yeah. No offense to our lovely colleagues who run nursing homes and or even other care facilities. I hate the word facilities, care communities, but it's actually such a silly research question now, since I'm a little bit of a that where do you want care? Where do you want to live later on? Where do you want care to be? And at this point, AARP, so it's like 3% say, I want care at home. You know, most people say that, but what really makes that possible? So,
right, right.
What does that look like?
One of the reasons that I think we kind of see or perceive this idea of long-term care being synonymous with care in a nursing home is Medicare doesn't pay for long-term care, as we've said. It's just short-term rehab recovery care. Medicaid, the state and federal Medicaid program does pay for long-term care, but almost exclusively in a nursing home.
Yes, we were going to, I had that question. This is a good time. We're going to talk about the cost of care. Let's talk a little bit about Medicaid just to confuse our listeners, because it's amazing how many people confuse, as you're saying, Medicare and Medicaid, who it's for and what it covers and for how long. So tell us, invasive cardiologist Dr. Bill Comfort, become a specialist on Medicaid. Tell us about that a little bit.
So Medicare is an entitlement. You turn age 65, you're entitled to enroll in Medicare as your health insurance.
Yes.
And whether you're still working or not, parts A and B in a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Medicaid is essentially the healthcare component of what we might call our welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
It's the safety net. It's our social safety net for healthcare. And Medicaid, it's interesting, the largest number of people on Medicaid are children. And these are children in low-income families who are getting their health care through the Medicaid system.
This is that chip when you hear about the, chip?
That could be part of that, yes. So Medicaid gets very complex very quickly. So my focus, the long-term care part of Medicaid, is called old age disabled. And that's a program within
that term
Medicaid.
Has not aged well itself. Right? You know, it's now people with disabilities. We don't generally say disabled. So we've got to PC up that a little bit.
But well, talk to your congressman about that.
Doing it next week. Funny. So old age disabled.
It's called the old age disabled program. And what it really means is it is for people over age 65 who have long-term custodial care needs. But Medicaid, being a safety net program, is for people whose assets and income are below a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And these levels are set by the federal government, and the states each have a little bit of room to manage Medicaid in their own way, but within the federal government sort of guardrails. So Medicaid in North Carolina works a little bit differently than it does in Florida.
And we're just trying to expand it now, so it's going to be changing even more. But okay, sorry, I don't want to confuse things.
Well, that's a great thing to mention, though.
Oh, good.
The Medicaid expansion, which North Carolina is kind of late to the game with most of the states.
Yeah, very late, yes.
But that's for working age adults and their families.
Oh, so
it has nothing to do with the old age disability program. So there is no expansion. There is no new money. There is no new provision for older people who need long-term care under Medicaid expansion.
Did
so it's expanding the
coverage for
the definition of who's covered.
Yeah.
But it's really under 65 healthcare.
Okay.
And we're making it easier for more people in, you know, lower middle income. You know, they're working, they have incomes, but health insurance has become so expensive. Medicaid now is becoming a resource. So that has nothing to do with extended care.
Got it.
So here's the problem. There's two problems with planning on Medicaid at some unknown time in the future.
I also hear that. That's the big myth. Oh, and then if I can't pay for it, Medicaid will pay. I hear that weekly.
Here's the two problems. Number one, we've already identified. Medicaid primarily pays for the one place nobody wants to go to get care,
that's
a nursing home.
Yep.
And sometimes you hear, oh, if you're on Medicaid, you'll get in a bad nursing home. Well, not necessarily. There are very good nursing homes, traditional institutional nursing homes, that take Medicaid. The problem is people don't want to be in a nursing home. So, they want to stay at home if possible, as long as possible. Or alternatives like assisted living or memory care if that's the need. So that's the first problem with relying on Medicaid for your plan. The second reason is qualifying for it financially can be very problematic.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going. Sorry.
So I'll take it two ways. Let's start with a single person.
Okay.
A single person, this is how it works in North Carolina and most states, and the variations are just some subtle differences. In North Carolina, if you're a single person, your assets, excluding your house and a car, have to be down to $2,000. So your IRA, your 401k, your checking, your savings, your investment accounts, $2,000. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the nursing home, your income, whatever income you have, so Social Security, maybe you have a pension, your income goes to the nursing home and Medicaid pays the difference. So can you give your money away and wait a few years? Yes, you have to wait 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And how do you plan for that?
I mean, having only $2,000, that's a devastating situation. And so the term that I hear is people really have to impoverish themselves to make themselves eligible. And is that really what you want to do? And then you really have no choice, because as the communities you go to, the nursing homes, they then take any monthly income you're getting with a very small personal needs allowance. We just got that change in North Carolina. It was a measly like $30, and now it's a measly like $70. Right. But you're supposed to live an entire month, all your shampoo and your gifts and your hair salons and books and everything.
The extras.
I don't know if I could do $70, you know, a day. So, yeah. Sorry, husband,
well,
listening.
In some ways, it's even worse for couples. Now, there's protections. There's some financial protection above this $2,000 of assets for couples. But if one spouse needs care and is going to the nurse, the other spouse has to continue to live his or her life. They have to maintain their financial security as long as they might live. And what is their life and lifestyle? So for couples today, the spouse who is staying at home, who's not needing care, can keep the house. Mm-hmm. That is a definite protection for married people. A car, your possessions. Mm-hmm. But of all of the other combined, doesn't matter whose name it's in, husband or wife, the spouse who's not on Medicaid only keeps about $149,000. And everything's at risk.
Everything.
401k, IRA, in either name. And people don't understand this.
Oh, because they'll say, it's okay because that retirement account, it's only in my name. So the government can't go for that.
Doesn't matter. No, Medicaid puts it all on the table.
Which then puts the partner at extreme risk for when they need care.
Well, but first, it puts them at extreme risk for just paying for their ongoing lifestyle.
Yeah, just their life. Yeah, it's just bad.
but then, you know, there's potentially their need for care. So those are reasons not to plan
Medicaid
in the future.
Second myth busting. I feel like we've got our myth busting list. Medicare is not going to be paying for your long-term care, and Medicaid, you don't really want to make part of your plan.
Right.
Either your long-term care. So there's our second big myth.
There is a process called Medicaid planning, and it's the practice of law.
Yes.
Elder law attorneys, sometimes called Medicaid attorneys, but their technical name is an elder law attorney. And they do estate planning as well as Medicaid law. Elder law attorneys, when they say they do Medicaid planning, it's really crisis intervention.
Yes.
There's no other option. You've received the diagnosis that there's Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. You're now uninsurable. You know care is coming. Maybe it's not needed today. Or somebody needs care right now.
And those are the situations that I know I've been involved with some of my clients and people I care about.
Right.
Yeah.
I refer clients and families to elder law attorneys on a regular basis. And most people know that once you need care or once you have that disabling diagnosis, most people know you can't buy the insurance, but they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, what do we do? The adult children often think, my gosh, are we going to have to sacrifice our kids' college funds to pay for mom's care?
Sure.
And the answer there is, well, there is a safety net, and it's called Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So you need to see an elder law attorney to get advice on just how to navigate the system. And depending on the circumstances and timing, there are some techniques. It's outside the scope of my practice, but there are some ways that families can preserve some assets from just that $2,000 or $150,000 limit. But it takes legal advice
to do that. Did have a show I'm going to say like our sixth or seventh show was all, and if you go on our website, you can, we had on elder care, legal planning and elder estate planning and elder legal issues. And so again, there are some things to plan for, but it gets really complicated. And so how to plan for it thoughtfully as opposed to reacting.
Right.
And I think that's part of what it is. So a question, while we're already being depressing, let's be a little bit more depressing and talk about the costs. When we talk about numbers, we talked about some of the numbers about what, how much money you could have in terms of being eligible for Medicaid or not eligible and how that would work. So we start to frame this into how much long-term care actually costs, so people have a mental note. We have a segment, a recurring segment. I'm sorry, my co-host Alicia is not with us today. We always enjoy our recurring segment called Fun Facts and Sexy Statistics. And I realize this would be the part, though, not the most fun facts and not the most sexy statistics, but let's talk a moment about the costs. And what are generally the costs of long-term care as people think about, well, what am I planning for?
Right. And this is the problem with long-term care, when it goes on for months and months, if not years and years, is it is very expensive to pay for professional help, professional care, whether it's care with an aide coming into your own home, or you move to assisted living or memory care or a family care home, or even typically at the end of the continuum, it could be a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. So I always start with my clients on this subject. What does it cost?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we start with home care.
Yes.
Because most people will say.
I want to stay at home. I don't say that, but others do. I actually really like community settings. But yes, lots of folks say, I want to stay at home.
There are some days, aren't there? I've gone on the tours and it's like, oh, yeah, I could move in here, and there are some days it would just be really nice to have everything taken care of.
I have been on a list for 8 years. I got on at 45. I am too much of a communal person and too much of a social, even cost aside, I want to be in a social environment, and I also want people to take care of me and not have my kids do it. So, yes, I've been on a list. And so those listening, it's never too early to get on some of these lists. So.
And it's not you're not buying a ticket for care.
No.
You're saying this is the provision. This is what I want to have. But for most people, I would say 8 out of 10 people say, look, and by the way, we don't know if, when it will happen, what the circumstances will be in 20 or 30 years.
We don't.
Right? When we might likely need care.
Or 2 or 3 months. Exactly.
So
we don't know.
Most people say, if possible, as long as possible, I'd like to stay at home. And if I can't stay at home, as much of a home-like setting,
yes,
right, more community-based care. So let's start with home care. In the greater North Carolina Triangle, which is actually pretty close to national averages mm-hmm. in many other communities, home care, paid home care from a professional agency is $30, if not close to $35 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do the math in my head a little bit better. If it's $30 an hour, just 40 hours a week of home care, which is part-time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a full-time job, but when you think of 24/7, 40 hours a week is part-time. At $30 an hour, it's like $5,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for you know, 5 days, 8 hours, or 7 days, five hours.
And there's
care.
24 hours a day as someone who did 24/7 caregiving and brought in some help to do that. There's 24 hours in the day, so that's great if you're helping me for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, 4 hours. But there's 24 hours right. a day that I needed help. So go on with the cost. And so I have some of your slides.
Yeah, when people need help, you know, with things we talk about, either supervision for what's called a cognitive impairment, a mental limitation, mm-hmm. right? We think of Alzheimer's, dementia in old age, could be a head injury, mm-hmm. or this is also long-term care, help with physical activities.
Yes.
Bathing, dressing, transferring, those types of things. So if you bring help into your home, 40 hours a week, it's $5,000 to $6,000 a month.
Just that.
And here's the biggest problem for couples. Where will you get an extra $5,000 a month? Because the rest of life and lifestyle and housing costs and keeping mm-hmm. your home up and doing things that you want to do, those things mostly still continue. For sure for the independent spouse, if maybe not even for both. So that's the first place to start. If we extrapolate, if you paid an aide or mm-hmm. paid for aides to do 24/7 home care, we're at $15,000 plus a month.
Oh,
and
yeah.
most people don't do that, can't afford it. It's complex to manage. In my experience, once a person needs or a family is dealing with a care situation where they need professionals around more than 8 or 10 hours a day, mm-hmm. somewhere, you know, maybe even 7 days a week, that's often cost and complexity wise when they begin to say, okay, we should be looking at assisted living or yes. memory care. So let me transition there.
Yes.
Because that ties into it. There's a lot of surveys. So insurance companies do cost of care surveys mm-hmm. all across the country. They survey Durham and Raleigh, and you can drill down to local mm-hmm. areas. And those surveys for our area, the Triangle, say that assisted living is about $4,500 or $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very careful, because that's pretty much just the base rate.
I know. I spend a lot of time looking. Bill knows what I do a bit when I work with families. And it's actually hard to keep it to $5,000 because that is, as you said, the base rate. Keep going. Talk every once in a while. Just, you know, but keep on. Yes.
So people say, what could care cost? Well, home care, part-time home care, let's just say 25 to 40 hours a week, you know, $3,000 to $6,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Assisted living with some level of, so they're helping you bathe and dress, for mm-hmm. example, plus manage your medications and so on. We're really probably looking at a rate that's starting at $6,000 a month.
Yes.
You know, $6,000 to $8,000 a month. There are certainly places that are higher than that, but I think $6,000 to $8,000 a month is a good range.
Yes.
Memory care is another step up from there. You know, maybe $7,000 to $9,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
depending on the facility and the degree of the limitations that they're helping care for. And then there's nursing homes. And if you're private paying in a nursing home, it's easily $12,000, uh-huh. you know, $10,000 to $12,000 a month.
I'm talking
if not
with
more.
Someone now, $17,000
yeah,
a month.
A private room in mm-hmm. a facility that's pretty much dedicated to private pay. But here's the thing, Heather. And I'm gonna use some of these sexy statistics.
Sexy statistics.
And here's
not
how
so
sexy
fun,
it gets.
These facts, yeah.
This is how sexy it gets. This is from long-term care insurance companies. So you know they're just
sexy.
They're
Go
the
on.
Hottest thing in the market, right? So we have now more than 20 years of credible claims data, thankfully, mm-hmm. and that's giving us more reliable pricing for the policies, but here's what we see in actual claims data, not projections. So people who've bought long-term care insurance, and just for the moment, we'll put them in a category that says they made some advanced plans.
Sure.
Thinking about these things we're mm-hmm. talking about. Long-term care insurance claims, This first number won't surprise you at all.
Okay, I'm just sitting there staring at you like, all right, throw it on.
70 to 80% of all claims for long-term care insurance start at home.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that
okay.
Because that's what people want.
Yeah, I'm at home and I'm going to use my long-term care insurance to stay at home. Okay.
And that's typically where care starts, right? Okay. Because there's a continuum. There's a process or a progress of impairment that can progress. What really surprised me is the end of claims, which is pretty much when somebody dies.
Okay.
That's most claims for long-term care insurance end when somebody dies. 60-65% of all long-term care insurance claims end at home.
Oh.
Only about 20% of people who are on claim die in a nursing home. So if you want to stay out of a nursing home, the advanced planning is the way to do it. Now, here's another thing that connects to this.
Interesting. I did not get that from your talk. That's
of
fascinating.
Of the people who are in nursing homes with long-term care insurance, they tend to have dramatically shorter periods of stay compared to the general population because they didn't go to the nursing home till they absolutely physically had to. So
interesting. I am geeking out on those facts, but okay. So
the takeaway here is even some planning for care, whether it's your own money or your own money plus some long-term care insurance, the claims data shows us that it absolutely helps people stay out of a nursing home to buy and receive the kind of care they tell us they want.
Interesting. All right. So then, and I'm looking at our clock. So great. So we have about 13 and a half minutes for you to now really explain. You've made the case that it's expensive. Care is expensive. If we are lucky enough to age, if we are lucky enough to continue on this earth, and we're not going to get that much support from Medicare. Medicaid's very complicated. So, and it's a lot of money looking at anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 a month we could be looking at realistically. And you didn't say the data point, but there is something like, I remember 70% of people need 3 years of long-term care. There is some stat that the vast majority of us are going to need some level of long-term care if we're lucky enough to reach the age of 65 and after that.
Right.
So then what is long-term care insurance and how, and you've already, you made the case that the claims data shows that it has shown some level of effectiveness and support in planning. So what is long-term care insurance? How do people decide what to do? That seems scary in itself.
Right. So it is, and it's insurance, and nobody wants to buy more insurance.
We don't.
If the bank or the government isn't making you buy it, we'd rather not. But the insurance is instead of having to pay for all of this out of your own pocket, or, and this is important to remember, sometimes whether people have their own money or not, you know who's actually pays the price first? Your family.
Yes.
Yeah, your spouse, your adult children. And I hear, Heather, all the time clients say, I don't want my kids to take care of me. And my answer is, what choice will they have if you haven't made a plan to protect them, at least from the 24/7 commitment?
Exactly. So, we talked about the expense, and it's for more shows in November around caregiver. And I was going to say both seriously, you know what else is expensive? People like me who left their job full time to care for family members, left my job, left my health insurance. And so there's expenses beyond. And so
let alone the emotional.
I'm so gratified
stress.
For that, Dad, if you're listening, I love you so much. And that was my choice. But the choice also came from the circumstances. OK,
right.
Go on.
So long-term care insurance is simply a financial tool that if you need care, it provides money. And the two, there are options for inflation and other riders and things, but the two main choices that you make, at least to start, in pricing long-term care insurance is how much money per month, like, you know, say $4,000 or $5,000 a month. You can buy as little as $2,000 and as much as $10,000 or $15,000 a month.
Oh, how much protection you want per month? Not that I'll pay $5,000 a month, but I want that level of support.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So that's one, that's the main lever. And then the other lever is, once I ever need care, if I ever need care, how long will the policy pay for?
Got it.
2 years, 4 years, 6 years. There are policies available still that are unlimited. There's a myth. A lot of people think you can't buy an unlimited policy. They're expensive,
yes,
obviously. So how much will it pay? And my job in working with people is helping them balance both an amount of coverage that is meaningful,
mm-hmm,
for the cost of care and their existing financial resources.
That's it, because I want that. I want lots of money. I want to have $10,000 a month, $10,000 to $15,000 a month. I want it to be unlimited. And, oh, I only want to pay, like, I don't know, $10 a month. I'm too cheap for Spotify. We had a guest here that helped us start Spotify, and I'm like, I'm too cheap to get a Spotify account for the monthly rate.
That's
and Netflix,
the other
side I'm doing the commercial. I'm not even doing the $20 a month Netflix. I'm doing the $6.99. So, okay, go on, Bill.
But that's, you just named the other side of the scale. So how much coverage is meaningful and affordable? And that's the premium.
Yes.
So, and Heather, that is unique to every individual couple and family based on what their budget is for premium, what their other financial resources are, mm-hmm, how much they want to protect themselves and their loved ones, mm-hmm, from the burden of caregiving, mm-hmm, and the financial costs of it. So those are variables that would apply to any long-term,
sure,
care policy. There's also, thankfully, kind of an explosion of new types of long-term care insurance.
And this is where it gets dizzying. Yes, go on.
Well,
not dizzy us.
And again, I'm a broker, so, mm-hmm, I'm not beholden to any one type or one company or whatever. I work with a number of different companies.
Tell us the best one, Bill. I won't tell anyone. No,
so the best. But you know, I get that question all the time.
I'm sure you do.
What's the best one? And so all of these. So let me give you an example. What we call traditional long-term care insurance, it's kind of pure long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a premium every year,
mm-hmm,
to be covered every year if you need care,
mm-hmm,
and the policy provides benefits the way you designed it.
Right? Mm-hmm.
How much per month, lasting how long. If you die and you never need care,
there you go. That was insurance. It's gone.
And some people say, well, I've wasted the money. No, you had the coverage.
Because I worked at a continuing care retirement community, which is regulated by the Department of Insurance. Someone said, well, if you die before you need it. And I said, well, are you mad if you paid for homeowner's insurance and your house didn't burn down?
Right. Exactly.
Like,
None of us think that way. Right.
Yes. And when I said that to her, she was like, oh, yeah. Like, do you ask for your money back and say, my house didn't burn down. I want all that money back.
We would like to, but that's not insurance.
Yes.
So this what we might call this
that's
new
escrow or something.
Right. Well, you might get that back. This new kind of long-term care insurance is called a hybrid or combo, and it links together typically life insurance, maybe an annuity, but life insurance plus long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you need care, it pays out from the life insurance policy plus maybe even an extra benefit for long-term care. But if you never need care, there's then the life insurance death benefit. So a lot of people like that idea because if they pay into the premiums for 20 or 25 years, they never need care, their heirs, their estate.
Their loved ones get something back.
Here's the problem.
What's the problem? I know there's a problem.
It costs 50 to 100% more,
yeah,
than the pure long-term care insurance. Now, for some people, if they want to choose to do it, that's great. But the death benefit's not for free. You're paying for both coverages that are there. So, we don't have time to get into it. It would probably be a 2-hour continuing education course. But there's a whole variety now of different types of long-term and life insurance policies. Some of them are very good for long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are terrible for long-term care. It's great life insurance,
Yeah.
But it's not going to pay the way people expect. So, again, this is sort of tooting my own horn, but my job is to help people navigate all of these different options. Mm-hmm. And my approach is truly, and I believe this because I sell and represent all of these different types. One's not necessarily better or worse than the other. What's best for you? Mm-hmm. What's best for this client or this family and their budget and their goals? You know, it's like, well, what stocks should I buy? Well, let's look at you personally.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned stocks, and I'll ask this question quickly because also I want you to be able to have the fullness of time. What I hear the concern from people saying is, I'm not going to buy long-term care insurance, just like I may not buy, someone might not buy life insurance, because they'll say, I'll manage my own investments. I'll put the money, I'll just put it away. I'm doing my own savings, or I'll invest it in stocks, so that way I'll have the returns, because I know you answered this at the talk that I saw you at the Seymour Center. And so I'll just manage, okay, I'm supposed to come up with $150,000 a year for when I'm, you know, 65 to 105. I'll just somehow invest that and create that. How do you handle that when people say, oh, I'm just managing it myself?
Right. So and what a lot of times they say is they look at the premium, whatever the premium dollar amount is, and they say, I'll just invest that myself instead of giving it to the insurance company.
Yes.
You literally cannot out-invest the insurance benefit if you need care. If
yes.
you never need care, of course you're going to do better because you didn't have the event. It's like saying,
yes.
I can do better with my money on my homeowner's insurance. Well, not if you have a fire.
Yes, good point.
So that's one aspect.
Yeah, that's right. I can turn $5,000 into, you know, $10,000, but you can't necessarily turn $5,000. Well, I don't know how to say that.
You can't turn $5,000 into $300,000.
Yes.
Right.
So unless you get a good stock
you
tip.
You cannot out-invest the insurance if you use the insurance. So that's
yes.
kind of the first idea. The second one is, and this is almost universal, most people are saving their money to do what in retirement?
They want to buy a house and go travel and give it to their kids and go golfing. I don't know. What are you
looking for? Pay their bills. Live their life.
Oh, yes. Pay their bills. Sorry.
As long as they live. Well, but those could be your bills.
Yes.
Okay. So when people say, well, I have $1 million or I have $2 million. Can't I self-fund?
Yes.
Right?
I
either
that.
Have
yes.
it or I'm going to have it. Here's the problem. Most people, when they go into retirement, whether it's 65 or 67, I don't care. For most people, let's just say $2 million. I'll just pick that out of the hat. Their $2 million, they're not living on $2 million. They're living on the income from the $2
million.
Yes. And let's just say it's 5%. It's $100,000.
That's not $150,000 that you're going to need or $130,000
extra. Right.
Oh, on top of everything else that
right.
they're.
So the problem is if you need care and you start drawing down your $2 million that you've just been living off interest on, and you start drawing it down at 60, 80, 100,000 a year, you've now also destroyed the retirement plan, especially the security for a surviving spouse if there's a couple.
Interesting. All right. So then we're at this 2-minute clock in our football game of long-term care insurance. And we're going to have you on again, or we could go into Alicia's time because she's not here for her show afterwards. But all right, what do you say for people? I think we've laid the groundwork about why it's important and the kinds of costs and some of the questions. How do people get more information? Clearly, they can come to you. Where's trustworthy information? And you're not going to say you're not trustworthy, but
right.
people who want to say, oh, yeah, I really do need to understand more. What do they do?
Do some research. Ask mm-hmm. First, ask yourself the question, what's my plan for care? What do mm-hmm. I want to have happen? What do I not want to have happen? What role do I want my spouse or my kids to play or not play if I needed help bathing and dressing or just being safe because of a cognitive limitation or impairment? So that's really, there's some self-reflection research
yes.
to do. Go to the Google. I mean,
go to the Google.
If you have an existing insurance agent or a financial planner, ask them mm-hmm. about it. But I think you need multiple opinions. There are insurance agents that only represent one company.
Mm-hmm.
There are financial planners who only have one type of product that they can sell for whatever reason. You need to get a variety of opinions and find the ones that fit your personality, family, and that help answer that question, what's my plan for care and how do I get there?
Okay, this has been so helpful. And of course, you did not toot your own horn when it comes to your website, but I will add it. If folks do want to talk with you, Bill Comfort, they can go to www.comfortltc.com. Is that right?
That's right. It's pretty easy.
It is pretty easy. And Bill, I cannot thank you. I would love to have you come on. We didn't even get into eligibility and criteria and, you know, really when you have a long-term care insurance plan, how to really make it active. So folks know that there's a lot more to talk about with this issue when you're part doing two. Your Google. There'll be part two. And Bill Comfort of Comfort Long-Term Care, thank you so much for coming on Aging Well Together.
My pleasure, Heather. Thank you.
And listeners, thank you and stay healthy and well, and we will be connected again soon. Take care.